This free story is sponsored by Deep End of the Gene Pool, a thrilling, entertaining audio movie available now for downloading, written by author Ace Aureoli. This audio movie is part of John Feeney Library of free downloadable audio movie series written by author Ace Aureoli that's free to all website visitor without subscribing. If you enjoy these audio movies, please donate so author Ace Aureoli can continue to produce these audio movies free for downloading. And now, The Legend of Cotton Mouth, Season 1, Episode 1.
Lester Lyra Cottonmouth Hayes. They said the fella got that name Cottonmouth on count he was a professional pussy licker. Why, tell me, the fella done had more cotton in his mouth from eating fella's wives' puss than that Eli Whitney cotton gin. Boy was always getting ran out some fella house with buck shots flying behind his tail like some angry hornets chasing him. Everyone knew Cottonmouth, even the bouncer at the local juke joint. And the bouncers knew by the time Cottonmouth left out the club somebody was going to be shooting at him. They knew because Cottonmouth done got caught too many times out back by the creek with one them lil' fast-tail gal's boyfriend. Or old man with their thighs up in the air around Cottonmouth's neck like some vice grips. And now, the legend of Cotton. The redhead came over and sat beside Lester, told him her name is Emmy Mae Cooper, and that she had been waiting on him because she heard he was the best pussy licker in the country, and she was the best cocksucker. The screen door slammed behind Lester Hayes like a gunshot, and he didn't need to turn around to know there was a shotgun barrel pointed at the small of his back. He kept walking, slow, easy, like he hadn't just been caught in another man's bed with another man's wife. But his heartbeat hammered in his ears loud enough to drown out the cussing coming from the porch. You best keep walking, Cottonmouth. The man hollered, voice raw as a fresh scrape. Ain't no woman's sheets worth dying over. Lester grinned, slow and easy, despite the shotgun tickling the sweat on his shirt. He didn't turn around, just raised one hand in a lazy wave, half greeting, half surrender, and kept his boots moving down the dirt road. The sun hung low and heavy, painting the fields gold, and somewhere a mockingbird was singing its fool head off like nothing in the world was wrong. 3 miles down, when the shotgun's ghost finally quit breathing down his neck, Lester paused under a willow tree and fished a crumpled pack of Lucky Strikes from his pocket. The match flared bright in the gathering dark, and he took a long drag, letting the smoke curl out his nose like he was savoring something finer than cheap tobacco. Truth was, he had been savoring something finer not an hour ago. Maveline's thighs tight around his ears, her fingers in his hair, her husband's boots on the porch steps. The Lucky Strike burned down to the filter faster than Lester intended. He flicked it into the dust, watching the ember die with the same slow inevitability as Maveline's promises. Sugar, you're different, she'd whispered, right before the bed frame started squealing like a stuck pig. Lester chuckled low in his throat. They all said that. Right up until their men came home early. A truck rattled by on the county road, kicking up a cloud of red clay dust. Lester tipped his hat at the driver, some square-jawed fella who looked like he'd never been within spitting distance of a woman's garter belt, and kept walking. His boots knew the way without him thinking. There was always another town, another porch swing with a lonely silhouette rocking slow in the twilight. The crickets were tuning up for their nightly symphony when Lester spotted the glow of a roadside juke joint through the trees. A hand-painted sign, Big Jim's Blue Moon, hung crooked over the door, and the smell of frying catfish and cheap whiskey curled out into the night like an invitation. Lester's stomach growled, but it was the sound of a steel guitar sliding between notes that really pulled him in. Music meant people. People meant women. And women, well, they meant trouble in the best kind of way. Inside, the air was thick with cigarette smoke and the warm, yeasty scent of bootleg beer. A heavy-set man with knuckles like overripe plums took one look at Lester's easy grin and jerked his chin toward the back. You look like you owe somebody money or pussy, he rumbled. Lester winked. Ain't neither one a debt a man minds paying twice. The bouncer snorted, but let him pass. The bouncer. Big Jim himself, judging by the way his belly strained against his sweat-stained shirt, watched Lester slide through the crowd with the practiced ease of a man who knew trouble like an old friend. Ain't you got tired of running yet, Cottonmouth? Jim muttered under his breath, shaking his head as Lester's grin flashed white in the dim light. Everybody in three counties knew that grin. It was the last thing a married man saw before his world went sideways. Lester bellied up to the bar, where a bartender with a lazy eye slid him a glass of something amber without asking. The first sip burned like regret, but the second went down smooth as Maveline's lies. Behind him, the steel guitar player hit a note that made the hair on Lester's neck stand up. He didn't turn around, didn't need to. He could feel eyes on him like the heat from a lit fuse. Somebody's husband? Somebody's brother? Didn't matter. They always found him eventually. The music swelled, and so did the laughter from a corner booth where four women sat clustered around a bottle of peach wine. One of them, a redhead with a smile like a straight razor, caught Lester's eye and held it just a beat too long. Lester tipped his glass her way, watching the way the lamplight caught the sweat on her collarbone. Across the room, a chair scraped back. Lester didn't flinch. If it was her man, he'd make his move soon enough. They always did. Outside, the cicadas screamed like a telegraph wire carrying bad news. Inside, Lester let the whiskey and the music weave a temporary cocoon around him. The redhead's laugh cut through the noise like a knife through warm butter, and Lester felt something in his chest tighten. Dangerous. That's what she was. The kind of dangerous that made a man forget the sound of pump-action slide. The bartender caught his eye and tapped the counter twice. Their private code for you got about 5 minutes before hell breaks loose. The redhead slid onto the stool next to Lester with the practiced grace of a woman who knew exactly how much space her hips needed to claim. Up close, her perfume was cheap but effective, vanilla and something sharper, like the edge of a whiskey bottle. "Name's Emmy Mae Cooper," she said, her voice a slow drawl that curled around Lester's ear like smoke. "Been waiting on you, Cottonmouth." Her knee brushed his under the bar, deliberate as a poker tell. "Heard you're the best pussy liquor in the country." Lester took another sip of his whiskey to hide the grin tugging at his lips. The glass clinked softly as he set it down. "Heard wrong, darling. I'm the best in three counties." He turned just enough to catch the way her pupils dilated, dark swallowing blue like ink and liquor. Emmy Mae laughed, low and throaty, and leaned in until her breath warmed the shell of his ear. "Funny," she murmured. "I'm the best cocksucker in four." Behind them, the steel guitar hit a wailing note, and Lester felt the barstool shift as someone stood up too fast. Emmy May's fingers, cool and dry, trailed up his forearm like she was memorizing the map of his veins. "That your husband?" Lester asked, nodding toward the shadow looming in his periphery. Emmy Mae didn't even glance over. "Was," she said, popping the pea like a cherry pit. "Till he forgot what my teeth feel like." Her thumb pressed into the pulse point at Lester's wrist. "You ain't gonna forget, are you, sugar?"
This free story is sponsored by Deep End of the Gene Pool, a thrilling, entertaining audio movie available now for downloading, written by author Ace Aureoli.
The shadow behind them took a step closer, and Lester caught the glint of a wedding band clenched in a fist big enough to crack pecans. Emmy Mae's smile never wavered, but her fingers tightened imperceptibly around Lester's wrist, half warning, half invitation. The bartender cleared his throat and slid a fresh glass toward the looming figure. "Easy, Cleet," he muttered. "Ain't worth the mess." Cleet's knuckles whitened around the glass. "Ain't your wife he's eye-fucking." Lester sighed and turned just enough to meet the man's glare. "Respectfully," he drawled, "your wife's doing most of the eye-fucking here." Emmy Mae's laugh rang out like a silver bell in a slaughterhouse, and Cleet's face went the color of a fresh bruise. The bartender tapped the counter three times. "Code for you got 2 minutes." Max Lester tossed back the rest of his whiskey and stood, slow as honey dripping off a spoon. Emmy Mae's fingers slid from his wrist to his belt loop, tugging him toward the back door with the confidence of a woman who knew exactly how much trouble she was worth. Cleet lunged, but the bartender caught his arm with a grip that said, "Don't make me break something you'll miss." Lester felt the pull of Emmy Mae's fingers on his belt loop like a fish hook setting deep. He paused mid-step, a hitch in his easy stride that nobody but the bartender would notice. The air between them thickened with something sharper than whiskey fumes. Emmy May's grin didn't waver, but her grip tightened just enough to wrinkle the fabric of his jeans. For the first time in living memory, Cottonmouth hesitated. Women usually melted under his grin like butter on a hot skillet, but this redhead had teeth. Her confidence radiated like heat from a cast-iron stove, and Lester found himself oddly off-balance. He'd spent years slipping into bedrooms like smoke under a door, but Emmy May moved like she owned the damn house. "Hold up now, darling," Lester murmured, catching her wrist with a lightness that belied the sudden tension in his jaw. The pulse under his thumb jumped steady and fast, not nervous, just alive. "Ain't you forgetting something?" He nodded toward Cleet, who was currently vibrating with enough rage to power a sawmill. Emmy May's laugh curled around him like a lazy river around a rock. "Oh sugar," she purred, "forgetting's my favorite hobby." Behind them, Cleet slammed his glass down hard enough to crack the wood. Lester exhaled through his nose. This wasn't his usual dance, the one where he led some lonely housewife through steps she'd rehearsed in her head since her wedding night. Emmy May was already three moves ahead, and the look in her eyes said she knew it. Lester tipped his hat back with one finger, studying her face in the juke joint's amber light. There was something unsettlingly familiar in her smirk, the same look he'd seen reflected in bar mirrors right before the fists started flying. He'd spent half his life being the storm women prayed for. Emmy May was the hurricane warning they nailed their shutters against. The bartender tapped the counter once, sharp as a gun cocking. Lester's boots itched for the door, but Emmy May's fingers twisted tighter in his belt loop. "You scared, Cottonmouth?" she teased, leaning in until her breath warmed his neck. "Thought you liked living dangerous." Lester's chuckle came out drier than he intended. "Darlin', there's dangerous, then there's suicide." He gestured with his chin toward Cleet, now breathing like a bull seeing red. "And that there's a man fixing to introduce me to Jesus." Emmy May rolled her eyes so hard Lester heard it. "Oh, please." Cleet couldn't punch his way out a wet paper sack. She jerked her head toward the back door, where moonlight sliced through the cracks like a blade. "Now are you coming? Or do I gotta tell everybody you ain't half the man they say?" Something hot and prickly crawled up Lester's spine. He'd been called out before, by husbands, by preachers, by men who thought shotguns made up for what their wives whispered about in the dark. But this was new. A woman calling his bluff with a grin sharper than his pocket knife. Lester's grin faltered for half a heartbeat at Emmy May's challenge, just long enough for the memory of Nadine Walker's floodwaters to come rushing back. That had been the summer the whole county joked about building an ark, back when old man Herbert took to wearing hip waders to church and eyeing Lester like he was the devil's own plumber. Nadine had tasted like peach schnapps and hubris when she dared him between the sheets of her four-poster bed. "Ain't no man alive can make me come like that," she'd bragged, popping her gum like a pistol cocking. Lester had taken that as gospel truth, right up until the moment his tongue found the secret spot behind her left ovary that made her shriek like a panther in heat. The resulting geyser had soaked through two feather mattresses and left wallpaper peeling in the downstairs parlor. Herbert still crossed the street when he saw Lester coming. Lester flexed his jaw reflexively at the memory. 2 days of clenched teeth so tight he could have cracked walnuts between his molars. The doc had called it tetanus, but every man in three counties knew the truth. Nadine Walker's pussy had damn near killed him. The way she'd arched off that mattress like a catfish on a line, the unholy screech she'd let loose when the dam broke. Lester had half expected Noah himself to come floating by on that biblical flood. Emmy May's fingers traced the old scar on his cheekbone, the one Herbert's signet ring had left when Lester came up for air. "Heard about that," she murmured, her breath warm as a bourbon pour. Heard Nadine still sleeps with a towel under her hips. Her teeth grazed his earlobe. "Bet I can drown you faster." Lester Hayes had tasted every flavor of trouble in his 30-odd years, but Emmy May Cooper had the particular bite of a copperhead wrapped in silk. Her fingers still dug into his belt loop like she meant to wear the denim as a trophy, and Lester could feel the weight of Cleet's stare boring into his shoulder blades, hot enough to fry an egg. The bartender tapped the counter again, quicker this time. The message was clear: run now, pray later. Emmy May's grin widened as she caught the shift in Lester's posture, that subtle lean away from danger he'd perfected after one too many shotgun sermons. Oh now, don't you go getting cold feet, cotton mouth, she purred, thumb skating along the waistband of his jeans. Her touch burned hotter than the whiskey in his gut. Not when we're just getting warmed up. Lester Hayes had danced with danger more times than most men drew breath. But something about Emmy May's grip on his belt loop set his instincts humming like a down power line. That wasn't just trouble. That was a goddamn death warrant signed in lipstick. He could practically feel the heat from Cleet's glare scorching the back of his neck, and the bartender's warning taps had sped up to Morse code for get the hell out while you still got legs. Emmy May's teeth flashed in the dim light as she leaned in, her perfume, cheap vanilla cut with something darker, filling his nostrils. What's wrong, sugar? She murmured, her thumb skating dangerously close to his zipper. Ain't you man enough to handle me? Lester felt his grin slip for half a second before he caught it, but that was all the opening she needed. Her laugh rang out like shattered glass, and across the room, Cleet's chair screeched against the floorboards. Lester Hayes knew trouble when he tasted it, and Emmy May Cooper was all trouble, the kind that left a man with buckshot in his ass and a preacher reading last rites. Her fingers twisted tighter in his belt loop, knuckles pressing into his hip bone like she was staking a claim. Across the room, Cleet's face had gone the color of a fresh-turned bruise, his hands clenched into hams that could crack walnuts.
This free story is sponsored by Deep End of the Gene Pool, a thrilling, entertaining audio movie available now for downloading, written by author Ace Aureoli.
The bartender tapped the counter twice, sharp, urgent, but Emmy May just laughed, low and throaty, like she'd already won something Lester didn't realize he'd lost. What's wrong, sugar? She murmured, her breath warm against his neck. Ain't you man enough to handle me? Lester's grin faltered. He'd spend half his life slipping out bedroom windows before the sun came up, but this redhead moved like she owned the damn sunrise. The problem with Emmy May Cooper, Lester decided as her fingers dug into his belt loop like fish hooks, was that she moved through the world like she owned every inch of it, including him. Most women got shy when their husbands came looking. Emmy May just licked her lips and leaned in closer, her knee riding up his thigh with the confidence of a woman who knew exactly how much trouble she was worth. Lester's grin fell brittle as old varnish. He could feel Cleet's rage radiating heat waves across the bar, could see the bartender's knuckles tightening around a baseball bat under the counter. What he needed was an exit strategy smoother than Emmy May's lies, something that wouldn't end with buckshot in his backside. Lester exhaled through his nose, slow, controlled, like a man counting down the fuse on a stick of dynamite. The bartender's tapping had escalated to outright drumming against the countertop, and Cleet's breathing sounded like a freight train building steam. But Emmy May's fingers stayed hooked in his belt loop, her smirk daring him to make a move. The solution came to him like divine intervention, or maybe just a kind of lowdown trickery that kept him breathing past 30. Lester leaned in, letting his lips brush Emmy May's ear as he whispered, "Darlin', you ever had a man lick peach syrup off your thighs in a room full of church ladies?" Her grip faltered for half a second, just long enough for Lester to slide two fingers into his breast pocket. Lester's fingers brushed against the crumpled $5 bill in his breast pocket, just enough for gas and maybe a pack of Luckies if he skipped breakfast. The thought of Jake Peel's wife, Darlene, waiting in that creaky four-poster bed with the sheets still warm from her bath, was enough to make his mouth water. Jake wouldn't be back from the Gulf for another 3 weeks, and Darlene had that hungry look in her eye last Sunday after church, pressing a lemonade into his hands with fingers that lingered just a second too long. But first, he had to extricate himself from Emmy May's grip without getting his teeth knocked loose by Cleet. The bartender's tapping had turned frantic, and Lester could practically smell the gunpowder in the air. He let his gaze drop to Emmy May's mouth, those lips parted just enough to show the sharp edge of her teeth, and feigned a slow, considering smile. "Darlin', much as I'd love to drown in you," he drawled, thumb brushing the inside of her wrist where her pulse jumped. I got a prior engagement with a lady who don't come with artillery. Lester's fingers twitched against the crumpled bill in his pocket. $5 wasn't much, but it was enough to buy him 30 seconds of distraction. He let his free hand drift toward the nearest barstool, fingers curling around the worn wood as if steadying himself against any maze gravitational pull. The stool's legs screeched against the floorboards when he jerked it sideways, sending it crashing into Cleet's shins with pinpoint precision. Cleet's roar of pain was Lester's cue. He ducked under Emmy May's grasping fingers like a minnow slipping through a net, using the chaos as cover to snatch a half-finished bottle of peach wine from the counter. The liquid inside sloshed dangerously as he spun, flinging the contents in a wide arc that painted Cleet's shirt front sticky sweet. Ah hell, Lester drawled, already backing toward the door. Looks like somebody done baptize you in sin, brother. The peach wine hit Cleet's chest with a wet slap, and for half a second the whole juke joint froze. Even the steel guitar player missed a note. Lester used that heartbeat of silence to backpedal toward the door, his boots finding the rhythm of the chaos like they'd rehearsed it. Emmy May's laughter cut through the noise like a straight razor through silk. Oh, you done now, cotton mouth, she crowed, but there was admiration in it. The kind a rattlesnake might have for a particularly bold mouse. Cleet blinked bourbon and peach syrup from his eyelashes, his face purpling like an overripe plum. Lester didn't wait for the explosion. He was already spinning on his heel, snatching a greasy dish towel off the bar to fling backward like a matador's cape. It fluttered through the air in slow motion, draping itself over Cleet's face just as the man took a wild swing that would have cracked Lester's jaw like a walnut. The punch connected with Big Jim's meaty shoulder instead, and the resulting bellow shook dust from the rafters.
End of episode 1. Please visit again for episode 2. And before leaving, please consider donating to the website or downloading a copy of Deep End of the Gene Pool. Thank you.